How would you like to relate to people free from the fear of anxiety or having to pretend to be someone you're not, and being able to speak the truth in that relationship at all times? Is that something that is really possible? Well, this morning I'm going to be dealing with a very sensitive issue. And my life message title for this morning is Truth-Based Relationships. We all have relationships of some kind, and how would you like to relate to people free from the fear of anxiety or having to pretend to be someone you're not, and being able to speak the truth in that relationship at all times? Leonard Sachs, a PhD, a polygraphic expert, and a professor of psychology at Brandeis University, says, "Lying has long been a part of everyday life. We couldn't get through the day without being deceptive. Both men and women lie in approximately a fifth of their social exchanges lasting 10 or more minutes." Whoa. "Over the course of a week, they deceive about 30% of those with whom they interact one-on-one. Furthermore, some types of relationships, such as those between parents and teens, are virtually magnets for deception. College students lie to their mothers in one of the two conversations." And so we see so much that lying has become part of the very fabric and nature of our society, that it becomes difficult to distinguish a truth from a lie. It becomes difficult for us as communicators. We almost forget when we're speaking the truth and when we are lying, because the line between it has been so eroded. One of the reasons we really are afraid to speak the truth, because we've forgotten what a lie is. So I'm going to remind you what a lie is. If we don't qualify what a lie is, how can we distinguish it from truth? How do you know black is not white? Because you see that it is black and it is not white. An official lie actually misleads, deliberately conveying a false impression. So complimenting a friend's awful haircut or telling a creditor that the check is in the mail both qualify as a lie. And if you were to think back just this week, and if these statistics are anywhere right, and this research was done in the nation of the US, I wonder what it would be like if they did it here in the nation of India. I wonder if we'd ever complete the survey. I want to talk about believable lies. Lies have become believable because our appetite for the truth has been lost. You understand that? You almost expect people to fatka. You almost expect people to not tell you the truth. How many of you would agree with me on that? You ask somebody a question, a straight out question, and you almost have preconditioned to receive something that you know is not the truth. And so you begin to believe that now as the truth. It becomes a believable lie. So what does the Bible have to say about this? How do we live godly, righteous, healthy, faithful, mature relationships with our fathers, with our mothers, with our spouse, with our brothers, with our sisters, with our friends? I mean, is it possible for us to put on the garments of truth and speak truth to one another? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 25 says this, "But this isn't what you learned about Christ, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbor the truth, for we are all part of the same body. A body, a physical human body, becomes sick when there is confusion in its cell structure. When the cells that have been ordained to do what they're supposed to do begin to do something different. And if you don't know, your body is communicating all the time, constantly. When you're sleeping, when you're waking, walking, whatever you're doing, there is pathways of communication between thoughts and feelings and emotions and cells and DNA and all those. I mean, it's crazy amount of communication that's happening. But whenever there is a breakdown in those cell structures, whenever there is some illness or sickness in any part of the body, you begin to feel what? Pain. You begin to feel the effect of that sickness, that cancer, that whatever is going wrong, the inflammation or whatever. That's because your body is not communicating like it should. That one area in your body is miscommunicating, is been infected by something that was not supposed to be there and is now fighting against the entirety, the integrity of your good health. That's what it's like for you and me. And which is to this, he's saying, we are the body of Christ. Put on truth and holiness and put off lies. So lies is not something that just disappears. It is a conscious decision that you and I make to get rid of speaking lies. So what is it? We make a conscious decision. The Holy Spirit suddenly doesn't come along and stop you from speaking lies. The Holy Spirit is ever present with you. And you have a choice in any given situation, relationship, to speak the truth, or to deceive, or to be clear. Therefore, putting away lying, in other words, putting aside, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We've worked very hard here at Life to create a culture of truth, a culture that removes fear, so as we can communicate freely and honestly and openly about what's happening in our lives. Doesn't mean to say I tell you all my problems and you tell me all your problems, or tell him or her. You tell the right people what they need to know at the right time, the right information, right? But we are open and honest and truthful about how we communicate. The first principle of a healthy relationship is truth. Godly communication is always enshrouded in truth. God is a God of truth, and he requires truth from those who follow him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth, and he always spoke the truth because he lived the truth. We are also called to walk in the truth, and this means we live in open, honest, and truthful communication with people. God's word is truth. God never lies and always speaks the truth. This means he is true and faithful to his word, and he never breaks a promise. Now, God sets a very high standard for our communication and how we are to relate to one another. That is why faithfulness to our word is a primary Christian virtue. And we somehow have lost that virtue of being truthful in our communication, in keeping our word, in letting our yes be yes and our no be no. Have you found sometimes when you communicate with people, I addressed this last week when, because of the digital age and our communication has been so watered down to texts and messages that very little emotion is carried forward in those, or sometimes we misread the emotion or intent. But if we could understand that our communication is the lifeblood of our relationships, and we need to allow that virtue of truth and honesty be impregnated into our lives. In keeping our word is so important. I want to encourage you in your workplace, in your society, in wherever God has placed you, keep your word. If you promise to do something, do it. If you cannot do it, communicate why you cannot do it. If you're going to be late, communicate. I'm sorry, I'm late because I have not been able to achieve it. Don't just blank somebody out. Don't just pretend like they never asked something of you. Don't pretend like that person doesn't exist. Because those become very deceptive ways of communicating. And God doesn't want us to communicate with one another like that. And I'm going to explain to you why some of us are caught up in this web of poor communication. The Bible encourages us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 and 18. It says, "But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no, but let our yes be yes and let our no be no." Truth always has to do with honesty and openness in our relationship with one another. So Paul encourages us, the believers, and he says, come on, let us speak the truth to one another. What does that suggest? What does that suggest? If Paul has to say to the believers, let us speak the truth to one another, what does that suggest? That they were speaking lies to one another. That means they were not being truthful. He was not hitting them over the head saying, you wretched, sinful, horrible people. He said, listen, quit lying and learn the power and the grace of speaking the truth. The depth of openness and honesty we have with each other and the quality of our relationships with each other determines the depth and quality of our relationship with God. If I have a truthful, open, honest relationship with God, I guarantee you that I can be truthful and open and honest with His creation. If I'm truthful with the Creator, I will be truthful with His creation. If I am deceptive with the Creator, I will be deceptive with His creation. If I hide from the Creator, I will hide from His creation. The Bible makes it so clear that our relationships with one another are intertwined out of our relationship with God. And I wonder how many of us really have thought deeply about this and really been concerned and said, God, I don't want to be in this place of not being honest. I don't want to be in this place of speaking believable lies. I want to speak the truth. I want to be honest. I want to be able to communicate without the fear of any consequences when I speak the truth. And you know what? I believe that is possible. I believe that we can come to that place in our relationships. It is a journey. It is one of transition. It is one of little decisions that you make every day. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin." As you relate to God, you relate to people. Say that with me. As I relate to God, I relate to people. And John throws this up very clearly. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And so, I believe God places a great responsibility upon you and me as believers to be different, to stand out from the crowd, not for believable lies or the latest phrase, which is alternative truth, but to speak the truth. Whatever it is, however it comes across, to speak it. Because when you do, you establish and build something in your relationships that is long lasting. Over the years, as we have counseled and helped families and couples, one of the biggest challenges have been is for couples to be open and honest with one another about how they feel, about what they're going through, about their past, about their future, about their current challenges. It confuses me when married couples are deceptive with one another with regard to finances, with regard to decision making, with regard to relationships. They're deceptive, and I think, whoa, there's no need to be. You can be open, honest, and truthful. But we need to understand why we have come to that place in our relationships. And I'm going to help you in a little while. Do you want to walk in darkness? No. You want to walk in the light, as Jesus wants us to be and to live in the light. Walking in the light involves walking in truth with one another. John is not talking about how to get saved, but how to get to know God and how to develop true, meaningful relationships with people. And if we're going to walk in fellowship with God, we must walk in the light with one another. We must create and nurture close and open relationships with one another. And you know, over the years as we have started this church, one of the key things has been is creating that culture of openness and honesty, removing fear and deceptiveness, and just saying, this is it. This is where I'm at with my life. This is where I am at with my relationship. And you know what? Together, we will help you to get where you need to be. Amen? You will not be judged for where you are. Instead, you would be encouraged to aim higher. You will be encouraged to say, this is not what God has for you. You can be in a better place. Amen? And in your time, and in your walk with God, you will be encouraged to grow at a pace that you need to grow. The word truth has several different meanings in the Bible. Truth means the opposite of error. Truth also means it's not a lie. Truth also means reality. And truth also means honesty and sincerity. And so the Bible uses that one word truth in many different ways. And I'm addressing each one of these in our relationships. Our communication with each other should be truthful, real, honest, and transparent. Love will lead us to speak the truth. And it will always lead us to communicate truth in a way that is most helpful to build other people up. If I genuinely love you, I will find it extremely hard to be deceptive with you. Because if I am deceptive with you, I'm truly not expressing love. Doesn't mean to say I'm perfect, I will fail, but I will always seek, I will always aim to be truthful. Always make those choices to speak the truth to you. Love leads us in that way. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. How do we grow? Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love. Not out of judgmentalism. See, I'm better than you. I speak the truth. You don't. No, that is judgmentalism. That is being critical about somebody else's state of being. It's saying, you know what? I'm going to be truthful and I'm going to love you and I'm going to embrace you just as you are, and this is who I am. Accept me for who I am. Speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. To communicate with one another in honest, open, and truthful ways always requires a commitment to Christian maturity. Kids, as they grow older and once they begin to speak, you don't have to teach them to lie. It is within the nature, the fallen human nature, to be deceptive, to lie. That's what children do. Parents spend a lot of their time correcting their children, usually the wrong way, which is why when children become of age and have to face the world themselves, they continue lying because they were never taught how to speak the truth. The wrong motivators were used to bring forth truth. Fear never empowers you to speak the truth. It always allows you to lie. Perfect love, the Bible says, casts out all fear. This is a challenge for us in our community here at Life, is that we speak the truth to one another. That we are truthful, not hurtful, but truthful. We don't seek to deceive one another in our communications, in our dealing with one another, but we are open and honest. So what are the barriers to truthful communication? If you're really interested, you'll want to write this down. I've put three states of emotional and psychological states that we can find ourselves in. The first one I'm going to talk about is the lockdown state, where you lock down psychologically and emotionally, and which is why you don't speak the truth. It's when there is lack of loving commitment to truth. Ultimately, a lack of truth can be traced to the root of a lack of love. Love will lead you to a commitment to maintain close and open relationship with God and one another. And so speaking the truth is not just, oh, I want to speak the truth. It is a commitment that you make. Naomi and I have made a commitment in our relationship. No matter what happens, no matter what we go through, that we will always speak the truth to one another. And so whatever Naomi says to me, I'm never filtering it with the question of, could this be a disbelievable lie she's trying to present to me? Could this be a deceptive way that she's communicating? Whether it's to do with her shopping, whether it's to do with her relationships, whether it's to do with her thoughts about me, whether it's, in fact, she's too truthful about me sometimes. But at least we're heading in the right direction, painful as it is, but it's good. We are better for it. And so we have made that commitment to speak the truth. We make sure that we remove fear from our relationships, in our home, in our relationship with another, so as we can speak the truth in love. But we lock down when we have a sensing of a lack of commitment to truth. We lock down when there is fear and shame attached to our communication. Just as Adam and Eve hid when God asked them, you know, where are you? It's like God didn't know where they were. They hid from him. I mean, how crazy can we be? You know, we employ so many people and we teach these very same things to our staff. I said, speak the truth. Don't remove fear. There is no fear in our organization here. But I know when somebody's lying to me, and it's like, hello, why? Just speak the truth. Just speak the truth. But when there is fear and shame, when we have been brought up with this thing of being feared and being shamed because we spoke the truth, because we lied, or because if we did tell the truth, fear and shame would be attached to that communication or that action or consequence, we begin to lie because we don't want to have to face the shame or the fear. And so we have got to remove this from our communication. We have to walk as people in the light and allow fear to be absolutely left in that place of darkness. Never be fearful in communicating with people. I remember many, many years ago, I was caught out. I was given a job to photocopy something in a local church in London. And I was 21 years old. I wanted to, you know, I mean, we would do anything at church. The pastor asked us to photocopy. I took some time out. I was in his office photocopying some stuff for something on Sunday. And I photocopied, and The photocopy got stuck and I didn't know how to repair it, and I felt really bad that, you know, everything didn't come out right. And he walked into this room at the end and said, "So how's the photocopying going?" Innocently, "Oh, how many copies have you done?" "Yes, Pastor, I did all those copies. Yes, I did them all." What I didn't know, there was a counter on that photocopying machine. And they were a church that was very particular about stewarding everything. And so he looked at the counter and he said, "How many copies did you do?" "I did 100 copies." He said, "That's strange. It only says so and so here." Now, he knew I had lied. I knew I had lied. But why had I lied? Because I messed up. And it wasn't even my fault. The machine got jammed, the paper got... And I just, like, I wanted to give him a perfect thing. It was like, you know, I got it all right. I didn't want to feel like I couldn't do something simple as photocopying. And so I chose to do what? Lie. Because I didn't want to feel shame. And that taught me something. I felt more shameful when he looked down at the copy and saw it's only 56 copies. You said you did 100. How many of you have been in similar situations? Don't look at me thinking, "Oh, Ian, naughty boy. We've all been and found ourselves in these situations. And you regret it when you leave and you think, but you know what happens? We keep doing it, and we keep doing it, and we keep doing it. We no longer feel the consciousness of that lie. Because we harden our hearts. We lock out. And that becomes the truth. That's when we're in a dangerous place. That's when life begins to hurt. Our relationships will suffer painfully. In the workplace, you will struggle to get ahead, because those things even a blind man can see. The second emotional state or psychological state we have is what I call the shut out. We shut people out. We shut things out in our communication and relationship when there are hidden things, when there are secret sins and attitudes in our lives. We don't confess our sins to each other because we don't want to hold on to our, because we want to hold on to our secret sins. As soon as you are open about something that you're struggling with, you become accountable for it. And it is actually very liberating if you are struggling with a secret sin or something, that you find someone that you can speak and say, not someone say, yeah, go ahead, keep doing it, but someone who can hold you accountable in keeping with God's word and help you to break free from that habit of sin. Because when you speak to somebody, instead of shutting people out, you speak to somebody, you can find redemption from whatever challenge you're facing, whatever it is. We don't want to forsake what we enjoy, but this is walking in darkness with one another and robs us of our freedom and joy in Jesus Christ. Whenever there is hidden sin in people's lives, whenever people are doing, they know they're doing what they shouldn't be doing, they begin to shut people out. They'll stop taking your calls. They'll stop wanting to fellowship with you. They'll stop wanting to be at churches because they know what they're doing is not right. And so the way they manage it is shut out. The second thing we do when we shut out in our relationships is when there is a trust deficit. People who have let you down in the past, they've rejected you. Maybe your parents, maybe close family members, maybe meaningful relationships. When there's been broken confidence and other breaches of truth, we find it difficult to open up to people. And so we shut people out and we never speak the truth because we are unable to trust. Now, have we been let down in life? Oh my goodness, many times over. Have there been people that have broken our confidence? Quite a few times, but we've grown wiser and known who to trust what, with, and when. But to the people we've needed to speak the truth, we have spoken the truth. To the people we needed to let them know what they needed to know about us, about our circumstances, our situations, we are accountable. Accountability is a liberating thing. It is not a cumbersome thing. It is something that liberates you to live freely. It is something that protects you. That is why the head of a Christian home is who? Christ is the head of the home, right? But who is in charge of the home on behalf of Christ? The husband. That is not a dominating thing. That is a godly covering. So you, your children, your finances, everything that God entrusts to you can be safe and protected. Families are challenged today because the man that is supposed to take that role is either absent or not taught how to do that or shirks that responsibility, and that opens up the entire family to hurt and pain and all the things that God never intended. But when the leadership, and as God intended it to be, is there, you find wholeness. But what about single parents? You mean a single mother? Yes, a single mother has to be both a father and a mother to a child. But remember, the Bible says that God is a father to the fatherless. And I always remind single moms, as we've ministered to many of them through the years, that know that you have God with you in a very special way. He is there to comfort you, to help you, to nurture, and to help you to bring up your child. I commend single moms who raise up their children, or even families where fathers are absent, but they raise up tremendous and great kids. I commend and I celebrate those people, whether it's a missing mother or a missing father, when they do that and raise up great kids. We need to celebrate them and bless them and support them in every way, because we do live in a fractured society. The third psychological and emotional state we find ourselves in is isolation. So what's the first one? Is lockdown, where we lock down in our relationships and we lie because we're in a lockdown state. Another is we shut people out because we don't want the truth to be known, or we've lost trust in people. The third is a state of isolation, where we withdraw and we pull ourselves away. That's when we have the fear of rejection. This is one of the major factors working against us being open in our communication, which is why I keep reminding you, do not be fearful. Speak truthfully. Let fear completely run. Keep it away from your life and from your relationships. And whenever there is a judgmental environment, when there is a fear and a judgmental environment, we isolate. Because what if you walked in here every day and I told you what wretched sinners you were? And I reminded you of all the wretched things you did this week, and that you were nothing and you would come to nothing, and God is going to judge you, He's going to throw you in the lake of... I mean, would you walk through that door again unless you're a sucker for punishment? God doesn't talk to us like that. Why should we abuse the privilege of the pulpit to speak judgment and condemnation on people? You get it enough every day of your life. When you come in to the presence and under the power of the ministry of God's word, you need to know the truth, but you've got to know it in an uplifting, encouragement way that encourages you to get somewhere. I know people who are judged ultimately never make it through in their relationships. People who are motivated by fear never last the long run, because that was never God's design for us to be in relationship in that way, because we will ultimately isolate ourselves. Let me tell you, right now in Andheri, there are thousands of people who once went to church and no longer go. And one of the key reasons are these two. They said, you know what? I'm so fed up of the lies and the deception that I see. I'm not saying that's a reason to quit church, but they haven't known how to process it. And they said, you know what? It's better I stay home. I better I sit at home. And I just am God with God. But you know what? That is not God's plan for you. And I believe here in life that we will find these people. That we will, God will bring these people to us, where they will come into an environment where they can be nurtured back into their faith and their relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And they will grow and flourish. The church often is characterized by gossip and criticism. Why is this? Because when we put on an act and we're not really being ourselves, we create that environment of judgmentalism. See, I'm so good. I'm not like you. I pray 7 times a day. How many times do you pray? Only once. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I pray for you? Ah, you told a lie. Oh, tawa, 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 tawa. See, me, no. I just worship the Lord. And even if I'm tempted to lie, no, I just say, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Pray. That's living in cuckoo land. And believers are not called to live in cuckoo land. We're called to live in this world. We're called to live righteous, godly lives in this present age. We've got to find the reality, find the real world, and live truthfully. Communicate honestly, without fear and the fear of being judged. As we try to look good in the eyes of others, we often ourselves do that at their expense. Another thing that isolates people is past hurts. When you've been hurt or damaged in your emotions through past experiences, you will automatically go into a survival mode of isolation. And that again is not God's plan for you. You need to come into a place where you can hear words of healing and acceptance and truth that will free you to be who God wants you to be. So how are we going to communicate with one another? How are you going to communicate differently this week with your spouse, with your parent, with your mother, with your father, with your brother, with your sister, with one another in church? What can you do so as you no longer are speaking lies? You're no longer afraid of speaking the truth, but instead you will speak the truth in love. That you'll be open and honest in your communication, and you will enjoy the freedom, and it will empower you to walk in the light just as Jesus wants us to.